Is this Mr. Murrow?
Yeah, this is mine.
The bottom one?
The bottom one's mine.
Okay.
I mean, you can look at it, but here's one I'll blow on your own.
One of these Mr. Brews might be mine if anybody sees the name Burrs on it. I hope to use it during shift.
I'll
give this back to you later if you need it.
He was asked.
Now you tell me.
Why he sits.
I couldn't.
I have one. So
the top is about using your right side instead of your left side. Yeah. So he sits in the left side of the parliament. Yeah. So he's asked by one of the Goyish legislators, why do you sit on the left, not on the right?
He says,
I was hoping someone would ask him. He said, I cannot sit on the right because Jews in this country have no rights.
Whoa.
I'll bet.
How's that?
No, I couldn't tell you. I haven't seen this thing.
Okay, my friends. We're on Daf Lamed Aleph. In Mesech Pesukim. On the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, special welcome to Yechiel. We haven't seen him in a while, so it's Ma'am Shechiyot Vekimonu. Avi again. Coming around, David, everybody. We have a new face, I forget your name, I'm sorry.
I'm Alicia.
Alicia. We married a young lady recently that I happen to know.
Mazel tov.
He gets a mazel tov.
And Sam is back.
We'll see how long he'll be back, but we'll try to hold on to him. We're not going to let him go. Okay. All right, who's calling?
Sorry about that.
It's not for me?
Nothing.
Oh, shucks. Okay. The Gemara wants to know whether or not you can take another min instead of an esrog. And in order to clarify that, the Gemara quotes a brisa. So you'll see that brisa towards the end of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. I think if you count the five lines from the bottom, you'll see it. And the brisa really has many, many parts to it. Each part will occupy our mind. The first part of this brisa is, can you add a fifth min? Or for that matter, can you subtract and bring three min out of four? You know, you might say, well, I can't get 100% of the mitzvah, let me get 75% of the mitzvah. So the brisa establishes that the magic number for this mitzvah is four, and it can't be five, and it can't be three. That's the first part of this brisa. The second part of the brisa raises the following possibility. If I only have three minim, let's say for example I have no esrog, can I bring a different min as a substitute for the esrog? And once again, the brisa takes a very strong stand on this. Lo yavi, lo parish, velo rimon, velo davar acher. Don't bring any other fruit. Then we get to the third part of this brisa. And this third part of the brisa is very relevant to our discussion today as far as the status of Yovesh is concerned. Now, we have a principle that goes the following. It's a textual principle. When the brisa opens up with a statement, we assume that that opening applies straight through the brisa. So the brisa opens up with the following statement. Our boss, Minim Shebelula. Clearly referring to all four minim in the lulav. Now, unless there's some indication later in the brisa that we should limit our discussion to one or the other of the minim, then I have a right to assume that whatever principles are going to be formulated by the brisa, they apply to all four minim. Is that acceptable? So take a look at this principle over here about the difference between what's called kmushin and yuvashim. It says the following, Kmushim Aksherim, Yuvashim Apsulim. That's before we get to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the difference between Kmushim and Yuvashim, the Rishonim explain that Yuvashim means that there's no lachluchas, there's no moisture whatsoever. It's completely dried out. Whereas Kmushim means that it's drying, it's in the process of drying, wilting away, but it still has some element of lachluchis. So as far as Kmushin is concerned, the Braisa clearly states, and nobody debates this, that Ksherim. As far as Yevashin, the Braisa records a Machlokas. The first day, which is the Tanakama, says Psulim. So once you cross the boundary line between Ksherim and, excuse me, between Kmushim and Yevashim, meaning that it's no longer a Kamush, it doesn't have any Lachluchis whatsoever, it's totally dry, then it's possible. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Yevashim, which means that even a Yevash is kosher. Now again, applying the principle that we began with today, when Rabbi Yehuda says Af Yevashim Ksherim, what is he referring to? Is he referring to the lulav or to all four minim?
All four
minim, which is a pella, because that means that even an esrog hayavesh is kosher according to Rabbi Yehuda. The issue that Rava presented in this sugya was how do we interpret pre-eitz hadar? The Torah describes the esrog as pre-eitz hadar, and the word hadar therefore sets up the standard of beauty for the esrog. Do we have a right to assume that standard and that requirement applies straight across the board to all four minim? Says Rava, that's a plukta between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. As far as the esrog itself is concerned, says Rava, kuli avalo pligi, that was never an issue, you need hadar to the exclusion of yavesh. But as far as the other three minim are concerned, that's going to be a plukta between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas the Chachamim will take the word Hadar and Esrog, and they'll extend it by virtue of a Hekesh, because they're all written in the same pasuk, to all four minim. And therefore Yavesh is pasul all four minim, which is exactly what we see here in the Tanakama, who says that Yavesh is possible, meaning straight across the board. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says Rava, will only apply the demand of Hadar in the case of an Esrog. So therefore an Esrog HaYavesh would be possible. In the other three meaning, where it doesn't say Hadar, Rabbi Yehuda insists that even a Yavesh is kosher. But here in the Brisa it says, Yaveshim Ksherim. And the simple understanding of this brisa is that Rabbi Yehuda says Yevashim Ksherim even in the case of what? Of an Esrog. So it means that Rabbi Yehuda drops the requirement of Hadar and Esrog. And that's against Rav. At the end of the day, the Gemara says Tufta de Rava Tufta. And Rav is completely upshlok. We have no way of defending Rav. And therefore it comes out that the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim Lemaskanas Asugya is from one polar extreme to the other. The Chachamim apply the requirement of Hadar straight across the board, from Esrog to all four minim, and therefore Hadar is possible in all four minim. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, doesn't accept the requirement of Hadar, not even in Esrog. And the Gemara then asks, so what is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the pasuk creates Hadar? And the Gemara says he has a different drasha, Hadar b'ilano mishana l'shana. But now, in the next part of the Raisa, Rabbi Yehuda quotes a historical case that took place. This is what we call a raya mimaisa, mevi maisa l'raya. What's the maisa that he brings? Om Rabbi Yehuda maisa. Here we turn to daf lamed aleph amid beis. What happened? We need a Gemara?
Yeah.
Okay. That's an important, you know, the Mishnah Berurah is very nice, Ben, and I appreciate that you brought the Mishnah Berurah, because that's what we do in Mishnah Berurah's class, but you still have to bring a Gemara. Okay. Now imagine if you want to bequeath something to your grandchildren. Right? I can give you a whole list of things that you might want to bequeath to your grandchildren. The last thing on my list is a lulav. But that's what happened amongst the Bnei Akrochim. Rashi says that they didn't have lulavim. So the best idea to bequeath to your grandchild is a lulav. The only problem is that by the time your grandchild gets to use the lulav, what's it going to be? Yavesh. It's completely dried out. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I prove from this my point, that you can be machshir a one of the Dalet Minim. In this case, he's referring to the lulav, but presumably it should apply to any of the four Minim. And therefore, Bnei Bnei'em is Morishan es Lulayim Lebnei Bnei'em. They could bequeath to their grandchildren a lulav. It's an alta lulav. Maybe the grandchild is very excited about it because he's got his Zaydis Lulav, you know, like I have the Chafetz Chaim's Kiddush Cup, you know, I, it's less than a shear according to Chafetz Chaim, that's not a kasha, because that was the minig in those days, you know, they used the small Kiddush Cup. So my Lulav, which I got from my Alta Zayda, which he used back in the city of Plisa 150 years ago, is quite dry, how dry I am. But nevertheless, if my great-grandfather used it, then I can use it as well. And that's exactly what happened. So the Gemara says that, you know what? Chachamim are not impressed by this story. The Chachamim insist that a lulav hayovesh is possible despite this testimony. Amru lahem, Misham Raya, you bring a Raya from the case of the Bnei Krochim, Ein Shas Adchak Raya. Now those four words, which I'd ask you to underline, Ein Shas Adchak Raya, are absolutely mind-boggling in the context of Halacha, first in Dalet Minhim, and then in all of Shas. And I admit that there's a Shas Adchak, you know, that Lulavim were very rare. So the best thing I could offer of my grandson in the Yerusha is a Lulav. And that makes it into a Shas Adchak. But therefore you're going to take something that's possible? So the Gemara wants to use this Braisa as an upshlug to Rava. Why? Because Rava said that in the case of an Esrog Ayovesh, since the Torah explicitly calls the Esrog what? Creates Hadar, therefore even Rabbi Yehuda would have to admit that an Esrog Ayovesh is possible. And here in the Braisa it says that Yoveshim Ksherim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. K'toni Mios, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afa Yoveshim Ksherim, my Lava Esrog. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't qualify, so it includes an Esrog as well. That upslugs Rava. So the Gemara tries to defend Rava lo alulav, that Rabbi Yehuda's comment about Yoveshim Ksherim was only referring to lulav. Lulav means three out of the four minim. And at this point, the Gemara does not shlug up Rava. The shlug up for Rava is going to come later down the line, because we're going to prove from a braisa that an Esrog HaYoshad, even if you inherit your grandfather's Esrog, which is clearly Yavesh, it's kosher according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require Hadar, and even in the case of an Esrog, and an Esrog HaYoshad is kosher, Tiyufta de Rava Tiyufta. But I would like to spend a couple of minutes of time on those four words that I asked you to underline. Ein Shas Adchak Raya. What does that mean, Ein Shas Adchak Raya? So first of all, my first question is this some sort of a svara that the Gemara is giving, you know, Toch Kidei Masu Matan? Or is this La Halacha L'maisa? So if I can ask you, David, see if you can find a place for this, because I'm running out of space and I don't want to spill my tea. I want to open up the Rambam. Listen to the Rambam's language. This is Perek Ches Mihilchas Lulav. And the Rambam in Halacha Aleph says the following: Arbas Minim Elu Shehein Lulav Hadas Varov Yesrog Shahaya Echad Meam Yavesh O Gazul O Ganuv. Okay, the parts of this Rambam, they're not for us. Says the Rambam, Harezer Posl. Okay. Then the Rambam says, Hoya Kamush, it wasn't Yavesh, it was only Kamush, Velo Gomer Liabesh, Kosh. U Bishas Adchak, O Bishas Asakona. Now I don't know why the Rambam feels compelled to add Shas Sakona. I don't know the difference between Shas Asakona and Shas Adchak. I want you to think about that. I don't have an answer to that. Lulav Hayovesh Kosher. What does that sound like to you? Lulav Hayovesh Kosher. The Rambam says that a Lulav Hayovesh is kosher.
No other choice.
Good. So Shas Adchak, a Lulav Hayovesh is kosher. I don't think that the Rambam is passing like a Yehud. That would be a very bad approach to the Rambam. But it means that when Rabbi Yehuda wanted to wave the flag, and I'll prove to you that a lulav Vayovish is kosher, and he told the whole story, so the Chacham responded, that's no proof, that's a Shas HaDchak. So even the Chachamim hold that Yovish is kosher b'Shas HaDchak. The Rambam is passing like the Chachamim. But Rabbosai, what do you hear in this Rambam? I'm going to read it again to you. B'Shas HaDchak, or B'Shas HaSakono, Lulav HaYovish kosher. What's the Chiddush here in the Rambam?
Just the Lulav.
The Rambam only says Lulav HaYovish is kosher. He says nothing about the other meaning. And the Magen Mishnah is gonna go wild over this.
Where are we in the Rambam?
Perek Ches Halacha Aleph. Okay, then. So the Rambam says Lulav Hayovesh Kosher B'Shas Hatchak. Again, Rabbos, I admit to you, I still am fighting. I'm trying to come to grips with this concept of Shas Hatchak. The Rambam has already paskined black on white that a Lulav Hayovesh is possible. So what good is Shas HaDchak? I don't know. But that's the Gemara. The Gemara says Shas HaDchak is different. So the Magid Mishnah says, Ra'isi Shekosvu HaGaonim. The Gaonim say the following. Okay, now before I read the next word, let's go back to the Rambam one more time. Because the Rambam has to be read meticulously. The Rambam says that B'Shas HaDchak Lulav HaYovesh Kosher. So we said, what about the other meaning? Bzudra Halacha and Lulav. Only a Lulav HaYovesh. But what else do we have to be medayik here? What else does the Rambam seem to limit? How does the Rambam limit the Halacha, the application of B'Shas HaDchak? Number one, he limits it to a Lulav. What else?
Right.
To Yovesh. The Rambam doesn't. The Rambam just gave us a whole list, long vidigolus, of all the psulim and lulav, and then he writes b'shas hatchak a lulav ayovesh is kosher. What do you mean a lulav ayovesh? What about a lulav hagazel? What about a lulav shechaser? What about all the other psulim here lulav? So the Magid Mishnah says ra'isi kosvah ga'onim sheyovesh v'niktam rosho. Okay, that's another psul in Lulav when the Olam Elyonim were broken off. V'chol apsulim, meaning etc., yotzim bohem b'shas hatchak. So Rabbosai, at this point, the Magid Mishnah is focused on, I don't know, I'm not sure. Is he focused on the lulav exclusively? Vesach. He quotes the Gaonim.
But this is Sakhul Mikan. Where is
Mikan is the sugi. I mean, he quotes the entire sugi that we quoted. I didn't go through it again, but it's word for word the sugi that we learned. And the Gemara says, Ein Raya Mishas HaDchak. And he says that the Rambam interprets Shas HaDchak is referring to Dafka the lulav and Dafka Yavesh. And the Gaonim say, Mikan, from this sugya of Shas HaDchak, there's no reason to limit it to Yovesh, even though you have to admit to the case in the Gemara where he bequeathed the lulav to his grandson, that's what? Yovesh. In a certain sense, the Rambam is correct here, because Ein Lecha Bo El Michidusho. The story that the Braisa tells is about a lulav by Yovesh. And B'Shas HaDchak Shaini. It doesn't say anything about other psulim. And it doesn't say anything about other minim. But the Magid Mishnah here is focused on the other psulim. I don't know, he doesn't mention what the Gaonim would say about the other three minim. That I don't know right now. But what I do know is that the Gaonim are of the opinion that all the psulim are subject to the law of Shas HaDchak Shaini. Anything that's possible becomes kosher b'shas hadchak. And by the way, Rabbi Olson, when I say it's kosher b'shas hadchak, do I mean it's a fallback position? Do I mean, we don't want it, we don't like it? How do I measure that? Make a bracha on it. In other words, if the Rambam writes that b'shas hadchak lulav hayovesh kosher, what he's telling you is that you can make a bracha on it. And comes along the Magid Mishnah, the name of the Gaonim, and he says that applies to all the psulim and not just to Yavesh. And he gives the whole long list here of the psulim. And he says, "Kol apsulim yotzim b'hem b'shasat chak." He doesn't mention at this point that the Rambam limits it to the lulav. He goes on to say, "We'll get back to the first day, the last days. I don't want to count." Das Rabbeinu, after quoting the Gaonim, he says, "Das Rabbeinu, the Rambam's opinion is she'ein lanu lahachshir ela lulav hayavish." So I don't know where to put the emphasis. I think it's on the word yavish, that only yavish is kosher. And why? She's kiru chachamim, because the chachamim mentioned the case of the grandchildren who inherited what? A lulav. So the Rambam limited this halacha of shasat chak shiny to lulav. And the Gaonim, I'm sorry. The case, I keep making that mistake. The case in which the grandchildren inherited their grandfather's lulav was a case of what kind of psul?
Yavish.
So the Rambam said it applies to yavish. And the language of the Magid Mishnah is ein lanu lahachshir lulav hayavish, only yavish, but not other psulim. She's kiru chachamim, because the case that the Gemara mentions is the case of yavish. It doesn't mention anything about niktam rosha. But the Gaonim said no. Once you're applying the principle of shasat chak, why should you be machshir yavish and not the other psulim? So the Gaonim are saying something Gaonish. I mean, intuitively, we have to agree here with the Gaonim. The Rama may have a point, as the Magid Mishnah says, because the lo hizkiru chachamim el yavesh, the case in which we apply the principle in the Gemara of shasat chak, is a case of yavesh. But there's no logical reason. In other words, it works like this. You decide if the lulav is kosher or possible. Now, once you've made that decision, then ask yourself, does it become kosher b'shasat chak? There's no reason to differentiate between one psul and the other. What difference does it make whether it's possible for reason X, Y, or Z? If it's shasat chak becomes kosher, then that should apply to all psulim. And that's the point of the Gaon. And I would take it a step further, because as we said at the outset, the Braisa is talking about our boss, Minim Shebeluah. The Braisa is explicitly relating to all four Minim. And on that, Rabbi Yehuda says that, you know, what are you telling me that all four Minim are possible if it's Yavesh? That's not so, and I'll prove it to you from the case of a Lulav Yavesh. But basically, when the Rabbanim respond and they say, Ein Shasat Chak Raya, they're really talking about the fundamental principle of Yavesh. You, Rabbi Yehuda, want to prove that a Yavesh is kosher from the case of the Horosha, of the Borosha? No, that's Shasat Chak. But the whole issue here in this Braisa is about Yavesh. And not only Yavesh with regard to Lulav, but Yavesh with regard to all four Minim. So therefore, the Gaonim make a lot of sense. In other words, we have to work very hard. I'm going to try to summarize the kasha that I have on the Rambam. The Rambam limits the halach of Shasat Chak. Again, if the Rambam would have rejected the halach of Shasat Chak, I would have been very happy, because I don't understand Shasat Chak. But let's leave that out for a minute. But the Rambam accepts the halach of Shasat Chak, but he's only willing to apply to the Lulav and only to a Yavish. He excludes the other three Minim. If they're possible, then possible whether it's Shasat Chak or not. And he's only going to apply the Hechsher of Shasat Chak to a Yavish situation and not to other Psulim.
Can you elaborate when you say you don't understand Shasat Chak, just what's bothering you about it?
Yeah, because I would say like this. If something is possible, you can't say it's kosher. Those two terms are mutually exclusive. I understand Shasat Chak, my heart goes out for us, for all of us, you know, Shasat Chak. You know, back in the day, I told you many times, my father told me in Plisa where he was born, there was bekoshi one set of dalad minim for the whole town. That meant all 70 families, by the way. So Shasat Chak is very, you know, I get very emotional about Shasat Chak, but al pi halacha, you can't take something that's possible and snap your fingers and magically call it kosher. And then just throw out Shasat Chak. You know, Shasat Chak is I really feel for you in the Shasat Chak. Yeah, I really want to push for the mitzvah of dalad minim, but apostle. There's no Iser of Baal Tosif, that I admit to you, because when does Baal Tosif apply? Right? Velo yito lo parish, velo rimon, velo dover acher. He added what?
Something.
What do you mean by something else? Tell me something else. Another min. Talk like London. Another min. Right? He added another min. There are four min, and he adds a fifth min. He likes the pomegranate. He's a PF, a pomegranate fan. I also love pomegranates. It's the most beautiful fruit is a pomegranate. Second only to the pineapple, or at least the inside of a pineapple. Anyway. But it's paltosif. You can't add a fifth min. Here I'm not adding a fifth min. So, Baruch Hashem, I don't have an issue with paltosif. Shas hadchak, you want to take a luv that's posel, an esrog that's posel. You don't have a problem with paltosif. But Ribono Shalom, to say that it became kosher, the Rambam says it's kosher. And the Gaonim say it's kosher no matter what psul you're dealing with. Why? Because it's shas hadchak.
You're telling me kosher d'oraisa or d'rabbanan?
D'oraisa pashtus. The Rambam doesn't say kosher d'rabbanan. When the Rambam says kosher, it means kosher d'oraisa. So you have a luv that's posel, and the Rambam says, even though it's posel, the Rambam says it's not hadar. He quotes the pasuk creates hadar because the Rambam again passes like chachamim for Yehuda that creates hadar is a requirement in all four minim. And the Rambam says, but b'shas hadchak a lulav of pasul became kosher. Voske herda ma'isa for that. Do you ever hear such a ma'isa that a lulav that's pasul became kosher? And the Gaonim go beyond that. They say, I'll give you a list of psulim. That's an enumeration of 10 different psulim. They're all kosher b'shas hadchak. So again, that's. But again, Rabosai, that I want to leave that question for later because I have a feeling in my bones that if we get a grasp on the Rambam sheet about lulav, because the Rambam says that the halacha of lulav, the halacha of shas hadchak is kosher, only applies to what? To the lulav, and it only applies to what kind of psul of a lulav? Only to a yavesh. If we get a grasp on that, because that's a pella. If there is such a halacha mechanism called shas hadchak, that the power of shas hadchak is to be machshir something that's possible, then apply that straight across the board. You know, I'm in favor of equality here. Apply to all four minim and apply to all psulim. The Gaonim say it applies to all psulim. I'm not 100% sure. I assume that they would apply to all four minim. I don't know. In any event, let me tell you this. Just give me 1 second and then the floor is yours. I just want to finish one sentence before I lose my focus. And that is that the Shiboli Aleket argues with the Rambam, and the Rosh quotes him in Siman Yudalit here, on 2 points. He argues with the Rambam and he expands the halach of Shas Hadchak to include all four minim. And he accepts the Gaonim and he applies the halach of Shas Hadchak to all the psulim. So again, if I had doubts about the Gaonim, did the Gaonim go as far as to apply the halach of Shas Hadchak to all four minim? We have the Rosh, and he quotes others, and this is brought down lahalacha in the Tur Shulchan Aruch and in the Mechaber. So Ben, if you don't mind, can you open up to Tafresh Mem Tes?
I didn't find it there, but I found something here.
Oh,
we can deal with the Baltosif issue.
Okay, good. So let me just go slowly. I want to go back to Tafresh Mem Tes for a moment, just to listen to the Mechaber's psak. He writes the following. He says, the fine, b'shas hadchak, this is Tafresh Mem Tes Se'if Vav, she'ein nimtza kosher, kol apsulim notlim. Kol apsulim notlim. Again, there are a lot of issues here. I you know, we can't cover everything in one breath, but just the point that I want to make is that he certainly Paskins like the Gaonim explicitly, and he says kol apsulim notlim.
Kol apsulim in lulav or
So does it only apply to a lulav? So if you take a look at the beginning of this siman, because again, you always have to go back to the beginning to figure out the end. He gives you a list of the psulim that apply to all four minim. He says, "Kol arvas haminim psulim begozel ubeganuv," and He lists other psulim here about Shaul, the Yom Rishon.
Ganu, but not Gazur?
I don't know. Again, let me just focus on what I want to focus on. Because again, there's Kala Tarkula here, and if you get distracted, you're gone. If there's any Hava Minu, we're going to get through the sugya. We got to just pick and choose, you know, something that's absolutely relevant. What I'm trying to point out to you, Rabosa, is the following. That here in Siman Tov Resh Mem Tes, the Shulchan Aruch offers an overview of all the psulim that apply to all four minim. He speaks about Yerei Nidachas, he speaks about an Asherah, and then he goes on to talk about other mumim. And then at the end of this whole Siman, he says, B'shas Adchak, She'ein Nimtza Kosher, Kol HaPsulim Not. Kol HaPsulim. He's not limiting it to any apostle, he's not limiting it to any min. And this is the sheet of the Rosh. That, and the Shiboli Aleket, and again, I don't have time to find the tour. It would take me another 10 minutes to get the tour, but you have to trust me that the tour says that all minim and all psulim are kosher b'shas adchak. So Rav Bosai, we really have a machlokas here that's minakotz el akotz, polar extremes. The Rambam holds that the halach of b'shas adchak only applies to what? Lulav
and Yosh.
The other Rishonim, quoted by the Rush and codified by the Tur in the Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Memtes, they apply the halach of Shas Adchak to all four minim and to all psulim. Now look, as I said to you before, Sam, I don't understand how Shas Adchak works. But one thing that I do understand, that let's be consistent. If you're telling me Shas Adchak works and magically converts a pasul into a kosher, then apply it straight across the board. The Rambam, on the other hand, applies it only to the lulav. The lulav gets preferential treatment, and only to a yavish. So Rabosai, the Rush in Siman Yudalid addresses the question, what is Shas Adchak all about? And the Rush invokes a principle, which I want to write on the board here, because I want to talk to you about it for a few minutes. Called Masran Hakasu Lechacham. Okay. Now, the Rosh is not giving you an encyclopedia Talmudit on Masran Hakasim Lechachom. That's not his style. Not only that, the encyclopedia didn't get up to Mem, so the Rosh could not quote the encyclopedia Talmudit. So for today, I'm going to try to play the role the best that I can as an encyclopedia Talmudit. The classical case of Masran Hakasim Lechachomim is the mitzvah of Chol HaMoed. Because in the case of Chol HaMoed, the Torah says nothing more specific than Mikrae Kodesh, which basically means call it a holy day. Okay, I called it a holy day. That's it. Now I go to work, and now I do whatever I want. I called it a holy day. You know, like they say, Nishav Shabbos Kiret, and then you can say whatever you want. Right? So I called it a holy day. So the Gemara Moed Katan, which is Masechta Chol HaMoed, it's also Masechta Avelus, the two parts, invokes this principle called Masran HaKosim LeChachon. In other words, I'm going to say it in my language. This, don't quote me on this, I'll deny I ever said it, but sometimes the Torah is vague. Now the word vague sounds a little pejorative, right? Whenever the Torah is vague, what it means is that the Torah authorized the Chachamim to fill in the details. So if the Torah says that Chol HaMoed is Kodesh, what does that mean? Does it have the Kiddush of Shabbos? Does it have a Kiddush of a Tainis? Does it have a Kiddush of a Yontif? Of Yom Kippur? Facebook? I don't know. I'll give you 15 possibilities. So that's called Masran HaKosav L'Chacham. So the Chachamim say you're not allowed to do Malach, but in five cases you're allowed to do Malach. I'll give you another example. This is the Ran in the at the beginning of the 8th parak of Yuma. The Torah says, V'nisev esnaf shel seichem. What does it mean? Should I take pins on Yom Kippur and prick my fingers? Prick my arm? Well, what's V'nisev? Inui means affliction. Says the Ran, Masran hakasiv l'chacham. The Torah used a vague term, and the Chachamim are going to define. Now keep in mind, the Ran Shita, this is a whole sugya in itself, is that all five Inuyim are Doraisa, even though none of them appear in the parish of Yom Kippur, based on this principle called Masra Nakosu L'Chacham. Rav Soloveitchik once touched on this. He didn't call it Masra Nakosu L'Chacham when he spoke about the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Reicha Kamoch. Because the Rambam's language in the 14th parak of Hilchos Avilos is very vague. The Rambam opens up by saying, Nemar b'Torah, it says in the Torah, V'haftal erech kamocha. And then the Rambam goes on and he writes, V'harbe dvarim tzivu chachamim mishum v'haftal erech kamocha. He has bikur cholim, and he has hafnosis kala, and simchas chosav kala, and the whole list. So the Rav said, I don't get it. The Rambam opens up with a pasuk. If he's opening up with a pasuk, what kind of mitzvah are we dealing with? A doraisa. And then the Rambam says, "Baharbi dvarim tignu chachamim." And there are many, many examples of this principle. I wrote an article once. This is not part of today's shiur, but it's just, you know, I'm kind of, you know, hoping that somebody will read my article. That's all. On the mitzvah, the Isur of Yichud, the Torah says that you're not allowed to be alone with an erevah in a close room. What are the details? When am I not allowed to be? What's an erevah? What's considered a locked door? What if the door is partially open? What if it's a Pesach Pasuch Lushus Aram? What if it's an Eish Hashish but Baila Be'ir? All that is written in is inscribed in the book by the Chachamim. So the Torah says that you're not allowed to be in a Mokum Seter with a woman who's an Erevah. But Masra Nakosu L'Chachamim. Nobody says that except for me. I think the only way of understanding the laws of Yichud is if you advocate in favor of this principle, Masra Nakosu L'Chachamim. Comes along the rush and he says, "Ulekachtem lachem biyom arishon creates hadar v'kapos tmarim v'yarei nachal." But what? What constitutes a lulav? When is it kosher? Which minim aksherim? When is it possible? When as a vayta and as a vayta? He asks the same question about all four minim. Says the rush again. This is my language, not his. It's vague. The Torah doesn't specify exactly what's included and how under what conditions do I fulfill this mitzvah. So who then is authorized to define the law and tell me under what specific conditions I fulfill the mitzvah and when I don't?
The
Chacham. Masra Nakosu L'Chacham. Says the Rosh, the Chachamim decided the following. That if you have two esrogim or two lulavim in front of you, this one is puzzle and this one is kosher. But if you only had one lulav in front of you, that same lulav that I told you 5 minutes ago is puzzle, and you would not fulfill your mitzvah, now take that lulav. Why? Because it's shasad chak. Who has the authority to tell me such a thing? Please be honest with me. Did I fulfill the mitzvah or not? Says the Rosh. If it's not Shasat Chak, you did not fulfill the mitzvah. You went ahead and you took a lulav hayovesh when you had in front of you a lulav lach, brachal vatola, no mitzvah, garnishkin, start from the beginning. If on the other hand, all you have in front of you is one lulav, and that's a yovesh, is take that lulav. Is masra nakosu l'chachom. This is the magic of Masra. It's a magical halacha. It doesn't make any logical sense. That the Chachamim will tell me when I fulfill a Doraisa and when I fulfill the Rabbanah. You know, the Rambam Shita is that Malach and Cholomot is Doraisa. Now, here are two cases. One case, I violated Malach and Doraisa, and it wasn't the case of Hefseid Merubah. Another case, I did the same exact walk, it was Hefseid Merubah. So the Rambam says, in the first case, there was no Hefseid Merubah, I violated a Doraisa, because we cry Kodesh. In the second case, I did what I'm allowed to do. And all this is based on the authority of the Chachamim. So it's a Bad Nizach. You're talking about a Doraisa, and who's going to define the Doraisa? The Chachamim. They're going to tell you when you fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa and when you do not. And it could be that the same exact heft. You see, Rabosa, if I had Masr HaKosel Chachamim before this rush, I could live with it. The rush is taking it one step further. Masr HaKosel Chachamim means that under what specific details and situations do I violate the Isur of Malach and Chol HaMoed? Do I not? Under what specific conditions do I violate V'nisa V'snapshel Seichem or do I not? Under one specific, do I fulfill the mitzvah of Ve'ahavtal Re'echa Kamoch? So that's clear. Because you're talking about defining the mitzvah. The Torah didn't do that for me. So the Chachamim didn't define the parameters, the mitzvah, the conditions, etc. But now the rush is taking one step further. I just told you that a lulav hayavish is possible. And now I'm going to tell you it's kosher. The Zelba Hefta. The lulav didn't change. My situation changed. Because I don't have any accessibility to a better lulav. Magically it becomes kosher. Mind-boggling. I mean, you know, you think about the authority of the Chachamim. You know, okay, we have a Takana called Chanukah and Purim, and we have Netilas Yadayim. There, you know, and the Rabbanim were misaking different dinim in psulei Tumah. But to come along and tell me that the same object is kosher now it's possible, or I should say the other way around, it's possible and now it became kosher, and all this is on a deraisa level, and who's going to sign off on such a thing? The Rosh. He's a pretty heavy hitter. Yes, sir?
Yeah. I just heard last night an interesting formulation about Malkus, that different people get different numbers of Malkus depending on how much they can get.
How much they can tolerate.
So then the formulation is that you give them, that the mitzvah is, you give them as much as possible, up to 40. And that's the common denominator. So I was wondering whether you can do a formulation here that the takana is, in terms of Shas Atak, you're supposed to get the driest available. A linguistic shtick. In other words,
it's counterintuitive. You want to say, get the driest one.
I'm sorry. The freshest
available. Oh, okay. Anti schnapps, what they call it. What was that movement called, you know, against drinking?
Prohibition.
I thought this was a, like, prohibition kind of thing. How dry I am. You know, the drier you are, take the lulav because it's the driest lulav.
So what I'm saying is that may be the way to formulate it. That one formulation, shasatak, not shasatak, is get the freshest available.
Right, excellent.
And otherwise, excellent. It's possible.
But the only thing is, I don't want to take that to an extreme, because again, Yavich does have an objective level, meaning you could have two love him. I wouldn't say that
you
if
have
you take
parallelism in terms
yeah.
of.
The, yeah, I'm just saying, you know.
But in terms of the
Sam is saying something very interesting. He's saying that what the mitzvah is take the moist lulav, if you have a moist lulav.
Take the moistest available.
Right. Well, again, I just have to backtrack a little bit on that, because if you go too far with that, you know, two lulav and one is more moist than the other, it doesn't mean that that the chacham undermined the mitzvah because I took a less moist, you know, lulav. The reason I took the less moist lulav is because I saved myself 1,000 shekel. You understand what I mean? Because this guy wanted to sell me a moist lulav for 1,000 shekel, so I said, you know what? This one is kosher as well. It's not yavish, you know.
Is kosher an absolute? For example, if you have a chicken, Rabbi A says it's kosher, Rabbi B says it's not kosher.
So that's interesting. There is such a thing called hefseh meruba. And the truth is that we really have to learn exactly what hefseh meruba means. But you see, I would tell you, again, what I'm about to tell you is probably wrong. It's much more profound than what I'm telling you. I'm just like pushing you off the couch, you know. I would say that the concept of hefseh meruba in kashrus, in what we call Isva Heter, that has to do with what's called Lechatchila B'dieved. Which means the following, that if you have a Machlokas Rishonim about whether something is kosher or not, so Lechatchila, we're going to tell you to Paskin Lechumer because it's Sofek Lechumer. But Shas Hadchak, or in this case Hefseh Meruba, would tell me that, you know what, let's fall back, this Yesh Al Milismach, as we say, you know, rely on those who are me. Okay.
One other, just to throw out, yes. I'm looking at one of these. Avram Ben Minahar learns, I thought, a very innovative name. Oh, you have that already. So.
Yeah, I'm about to mention Avram Ben Minahar.
Keep quiet.
No, it's okay.
Before you do that.
Yeah.
The Rosh. Because he's not the only one that used Shas HaChak. I mean, we already talked about the Rambam and Rashi. So what makes him, because he's saying it's Doraisa?
Correct. The Rosh is telling me that Shas Adchak is a Doraisa. Now, how is it Doraisa? The answer is because Moshe Nakosel Chacham.
So
the Chacham are going to tell you whether this lulav is kosher or not. And they don't have to be consistent about it. They can tell you if your circumstances change, that same lulav that he told you 5 minutes ago was possible, now became kosher.
But the others, when they use it, they're using it in a different way. They're not also saying it's Doraisa? They're saying it's Doraisa.
Well, wait a minute.
They don't use it. Just one second.
You know, I'm going slowly over here. Right now, Don, I'm focused on the Rosh. Now, you want to know what would the other Shitas hold. So let me mention to you a few other Shitas, okay? All right. The Bach, in the same Simon, on the tour, that the tour writes that B'shas Adchak, it's kosher. So the Bach wants to defend the Rambam, because the tour went very far. The Torah took Shas Adchak all the way to the end. And he applied it to all psulim and to all minim. So the Bach wants to suggest the following. He says there's something called Mehudar Ktsas. It's partially Mehudar. It's still called, not Mehudar Ktsas, Hadar B'miktas, I should say. That's the language of the Bach. Hadar b'miktas. In other words, it's got a miktas hadar to it. And the Bach says the following, that this concept called miktas hadar applies to the lulav and only to the lulav. And he says the following. Again, Rabosai, Michael Isaacs is not here. If he was here, I'm sure he would get all upset about what the Bach is about to say. Because it doesn't seem that botanically or biologically what the Bach is saying is necessarily correct. But this is what the Bach says. I didn't write the script. He says that in the case of a lulav hayovesh, the tsuras halulav still exists. The problem is hadar. And here, the lulav has a miktas hadar. But, in the cases of hadasim, aravos, and esrog, once it becomes yavesh, it forfeits its tzura. And therefore, there's no halach of shas adchak. Now again, the Bach gives us something, there's a benefit. But as we say in baseball, I haven't circled third base yet. I'm far from being happy. But I'm happy. I'm partially happy. Just like this is a partial hadar, I'm partially happy. Because if the thesis of the Bach is correct, I begin to answer two questions. Number one, why does the Rambam limit Shas Adchak to a lulav? And two, why is he limited to yavesh? And he says the following. Let's go over the Bach. That in the case of lulav ayyavesh, and only in the case of lulav ayyavesh, the lulav retains its tsuras lulav, despite the fact that it's yavesh. Again, you could argue with him from now until doomsday. Kol hakavod.
Tsuras is what again?
Tsura means you look at it and you know it's a lulav. Ah. It may be dry as they come, but it's still a lulav. And therefore, as long as it maintains or retains its tsuras alulav, then it's called hadar b'miktas. If all things are equal, then hadar b'miktas is possible. But in Shas Adchak, hadar b'miktas is kosher. Now, let me calculate the benefits and the limitations of the Bach. The benefits of the Bach is, for 1 second in time, I understand the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that Shas Adchak, and that was the story of the grandparents, right, only applies to lulav ayyavesh. In all other minim and in all other psulim, the psul completely removes hadar, which means that it's a different surah. The power of Shas Adchak is only in a case where there's a miktas hadar and the surah is not gone. So that much I'm very happy. What I'm not happy about is the following. The Rambam paskins that a lulav hayovish is possible. If it's possible, that means it's lacking in hadar. So who cares whether it has a mitzvah harder or not? The answer is there's some new halacha called Shasat Chak. And if you're applying this new halacha Shasat Chak, then apply to all minim and in all psulim. In other words, the Bach doesn't really hit the home run over here, Lefiyani is dainty. Again, you could slug me up. I mean, obviously, who am I to argue with the Bach, right? He was a great musician. I'm just joking, but right. So what does the Bach mean over here? The Bach is telling me that there's a unique phenomenon in the lulav that's yovish. Granted, I follow Korin, Yehish Mei Rabba. He's right, but it still really begs the question, because at the end of the day, the Rambam says a lulav yovish is possible. Narvas b'shas adchak, it's kosher. Why not apply the same thing to all the other psulim and to all the other minim? So I think, and you could again fight with me on this, that the Bach is standing on the shoulders of the Rosh. Let me just finish one point, Sam, and then the floor is yours. The Bach is not independent. He's not out there alone on a deserted island. He is standing on the shoulders of the Rosh. Without the Rosh, without the head, we don't have a body. We don't know how to begin to understand Shasat Chak. We must apply the principle of what? Of Masron HaKosim L'Chachomim. The Bach doesn't quote Masron HaKosim. But if you accept Masron HaKosim L'Chachomim, now the Bach takes on a whole new perspective. The colors begin to get very, very sharp, very bold on this painting. And what the Rosh is telling me is that the Rabbanan are going to determine when you could be yotze the mitzvah, and it's kosher, when it's possible, and you're not yotze the mitzvah. That's the koach that the Chacham were granted. But now the Rosh has to ask himself the following question. What are the guidelines? When do the Chachamim say it's possible, and when do they say it's kosher? That's where I think the Bach is filling it in to explain the Rambam. So again, I'm making two gigantic premises, both of which are very, very tenuous. The first premise is that the Rambam is like the Bach, meaning the Bach is giving us a clue to the Rambam. The second premise is that the Rambam accepts the Rosh, which is very tenuous. I have no reason to assume so, but I'm just very desperate over here. So out of my desperation, I'm going to say that when the Rabbanim decided they had to make a Shikul Hadas, well, is it kosher, is it possible? So here's where the Bach's logic played a role. They said the following. You know what? We're not going to give you a carte blanche and say, it's Shasat Chak. Every psul in the book, now magically we're going to say becomes kosher. The Rabbanan are not motivated to do so. If they can take the word Hadar and stretch it a little bit, that they're willing to do. If they're going to claim that this lulav, even though it's Yavish, it still has Epis Giblibin Abyssal of Hadar, then they're willing to say that Peshasat Chak, it's a kosher lulav. And again, when I say, I repeat what I said to you before, Alan, this is all on a Doraisa level, until we get to Rav Menachem ben Minahar. But all the Rishonim here, and the Rosh is at the head of the pack, but I think that's the right way to read the Rambam, are talking about a Doraisa halacha of Shasat Chak. How could it be? And the only answer I have right now, until Hashem Yor Einai, is this Rosh about Masron HaKosev L'Chachom.
But he's right. Because what's the consequence?
When I give a shir, I say he's wrong. And then I can say a shir. But you want to say he's right. So, Alan, please sign on a document. I'm going to send it posthumously to the Rosh and to the Bach.
Well, I'm sure they'll be
really thrilled.
Well, because the...
Especially if they have hard...
What is the ramifications of Yavesh? If you take either the Hadassim or the Aramos, when they become Yavish, they do all the leaves also, they lose everything, there's no tzura.
Oh, okay, good. So that's going to be the Mishnah Berurah.
That's the Pnei Yeshua, yeah.
Oh, the Mishnah, I didn't know it was the Pnei Yeshua, I saw it in the Mishnah Berurah. But before we get to your point, which is a well tied, I just want to mention for the records here, Rabbeinu Avram Minahar, and he says that the whole psul of Yavish is only Midrabbana. And in the Raisa, you can fulfill your mitzvah with a Yavish. I don't believe for a minute that any of the other Rishonim accepted this, but it is very smooth, because then I understand Shasat Chak. That comes under a different principle. That comes under the principle called Heimamru Veheimamru, right? So if the Rabbanan are the ones who say don't take Yavesh. It means that even a Yavesh is still considered a Hadar, maybe because it has the Tzura, it reminds you of the Dalet Minim. Then the Rabbanan are the ones who could say that in the case of Shasat Chak, then take this, in other words, we're going to institute a Psul Drabbanan, and we're going to remove that Psul Drabbanan in the case of Shasat Chak. Now, Rabosai, this is going to be interesting because, as Yechiel pointed out before, the Magid Mishnah makes a difference between the first day and the other days. And I'm beginning to think the following. You know, all the days of Yontif, with the exception of the first day, are what we call Zechel Amigdash, right? Rabbi Yochanan and Zakai Stakonis. So they're all the Rabbanah. And the Rabbanah might say that we can lower our standards and something which would be possible on, for example, a shaul, right? If you lend me a lulav, I can't fulfill the mitzvah on the first day, I can fulfill the mitzvah on the balance of the days. Because the psul of lachem, the requirement of lachem, only applies on the first day. So the Rabbanon, even though, again, this has to be really studied carefully because there's a principle called kol d'tikun d'Rabbanon kem d'oraisa, usually the Rabbanon is patterned after the d'oraisa. But in this case, for whatever reason, maybe it's not exactly a d'Rabbanon, it's a zeichel mikdash, I don't know, you have to really sink your teeth into this, but the laws and the requirements of the Dalet Minim change with regard to the balance of Yom Tov, because that's only the Rabbanan. Here we see another expression, according to Rabbi Avraham Min Ahar, of the dropping the requirement, lowering the standards of the requirements with regard to the Rabbanan. And but now we're not talking about a mitzvah Rabbanan, we're talking about a psul Rabbanan. So on a deraisa level, the lulav Yavesh is kosher. Again, it's a big, big chiddush. You know, to let those words out of your mouth, it's very hard to even express those words because the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Hadar, and that's why a yavesh is puzzled. So to say that's only a drabbanon is a pella, but he says if drabbanon puzzled, it hey mamar ve mamar, they can tell you when it's puzzled and when it's kosher. Okay. Now, Rabosar, I want to take a stab at trying to understand this concept of the Bach called Miktsas Hadar. You know, we have a phrase, I don't know, maybe it's not such a nice phrase, either she's pregnant or she's not pregnant. You know what I'm saying? So tell me if it's Hadar, if it's not Hadar. You know, what's this Miktsas Hadar? And my second question is, according to Rabbeinu Avraham Min Ahar, how could it be that a Yavish is kosher do rice and it's only possible to Rabbanah?
Second
I'm saying, you know, to say that Yavesh is only Darabonon, you know, that's a bit strange. I mean, if it's not Hadar, then it shouldn't be, should it be Apostle Doraisa? What does the Rabbi Yavram mean that the Lulav Yavesh is only a Psul Darabonon? On a Doraisa level, it's kosh.
You don't like the Lukat Chilav Doraisa concept.
What do you say?
You don't like the concept of Lukat Chilav Doraisa.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with Lachatchil. No, he's telling you that on a deraisa level, if you took a lulav ayovish, you were yot to the mitzvah. The Rabbanan said you're not yot to the mitzvah, but they allowed you in the case of shasna. So, Rabbos, I want to tell you of a shtickle Torah that I heard in the name of my Rebbe. I never actually heard it directly from him. I think my father told it over to me, because the Rav used to teach, you know, once a week in Moriah, in the shul in Manhattan. And my father was a dedicated, devoted attendee. Of course, there were many occasions where he had to cancel because he just couldn't be there. It was on a Tuesday night. But whenever he came, he enjoyed it. Imagine Tuesday night in a very small shul, there were about an average of 300 people. So this is what the Rav said. There's a Pella of a Rashi at the beginning of our perek. We spoke about it briefly. On Lulav Hayovish. Rashi says, "Dichsiv ze kelim aveh." Let's look at it inside. Osios machkimos. Yavesh. You see, it's about four lines into the perek, and Rashi says, "The beinon mitzvah muderes dichsiv ze kelim aveh." And Tosis jumps on Rashi. Tosis says, "Ze kelim aveh was a nice embellishment of a mitzvah." But it's not likuva. If you buy an esrog that's not beautiful, you're still yotze the mitzvah. You know, it's nice that in Shpizin he spent 1,000 shekel on an esrog, you know, and then it got chopped up as a lemon. But that the Torah doesn't require you to buy In fact, even as far as Zekim V'Avim, there are limits. There are limits. You know, there are maybe, you know, Shlish V'Lego, Shlish V'Lamar, you know, whatever, how much money you spend on Zekim V'Avim. I mean, I once went into a house in Borough Park on Leil Chanukah. The man was lighting Chanukah candles. If I had to guess, again, I'm not a bucky in this, how much that Chanukiah was worth on the market, it would have to be in the hundreds of thousands. It was gigantic. He had to climb up on a step, a few steps. It was pure silver, very enormous, and it was an antique. So Zekeil Mi'Aveu, the only problem is, I'm not sure, and don't quote me on this, that the Zekeil Mi'Aveu applies to a Chanukiah. Because the Ravid, for one, says that if you take a candle and you put it down on the floor without a Chanukiah, you can fulfill your mitzvah. So I'm not sure if a Chanukiah is a Chefetz Shel mitzvah. You know, people beautify everything, and it's great if you go to if you go down to the where is it, near the entrance into the old city, you know, where they have all the Judaic art stuff. You know, I myself saw a Chanukiah that was absolutely stunning. I mean, it was made of different materials and different colors. I mean, so much creativity. I adored all that stuff, but as a Brisker Lamdan, I'm not sure exactly where Zekeil Mi'Aveu has restrictions. It has limitations. You know, Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. You know, the Gemara talks about a talis, and the Gemara talks about tzitzis and tefillin and so forth. That's a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. But I don't know about a Chanukiah. I'm not sure what the status of Chanukiah. But I don't want to bust any bubbles. And if you want to buy a beautiful Chanukiah, then I'm on board, and that's fine. But Tosa says we never found that Zekeil Mi'Aveu was likufa. The Mishnah is saying that lulav hayovish is possible. And Rashi invokes the principle of Zekeil Mi'Aveu. So what I heard in the name of the Rav, I mean, if it's good, it's good. If it's not good, don't blame the Rav for it. That he said the following. That in fact, Rashi Shita is that Zekeil Mi'Aveu is always Ma'akev. Sam, you want to hear this? Or maybe you heard this already. This is a brilliant chap of Rav Soloveitchik. That Zekeil Mi'Aveu is always Likuva. But the answer is we always have Zekeil Mi'Aveu. Why? Because you can create a hierarchy of worse, better, 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 and better. And when you look behind you, there's always something worse, and there's always something in front of you that's better. So if you want to get something that's better, you get something that's better. But it has Zekeil Mi'Aveu relative to that which is not as good. So I could always turn around and say, well, Zekeil Mi'Aveu, up until a point. At what point do I finally say this? I've hit the bottom, you know, the bottom basement, and there's no Zekeil Mi'Aveu whatsoever? That's called Yovesh. You hear the chav? So I want to suggest the following: that maybe that's pshat in the Bach. The Bach wanted to suggest, and maybe we could use it to explain Rabbi Avraham Minahar, that the Rambam's Shas Hadchak applies uniquely to a lulav hayovesh. Why? Because it has miktas hadar. What does he mean? That this lulav, as bare as it looks, has something of hadar to it. And relative to, you know, it's like Zeno's paradox. You know, you remember Zeno's paradox. You know, how far is it from here to here, right? To cross the threshold, right? Because you can always split it infinitely. So you're crossing infinity to get from place A to place Y. That's Zeno's paradox. He was one of the Greek philosophers. So I have this paradox over here, because what I'm saying is that the lulav could always be worse. Because relative to a drier lulav, this lulav has mixas hadar. Now, what would the Bach say when I finally hit bottom barrel? You know, the bottom of the line, and there's absolutely no lachluchas whatsoever. You can put it in a barat. You know, you can test it in a laboratory. It has no liquid substance whatsoever, no moisture at all. Basically, maybe at that point it's like a psul d'oraisa. But in 99.99 cases out of 100, the lulav has mixas hadar. And that's what the Rambam means when he says that it's kosher. We're not going to say it's kosher b'shas, you know, shalom b'shas adchak. And now we can take Rabbi Avraham Minahar. Rabbi Avraham Minahar says that a lulav hayovesh is kosher b'deraisa. How can it be kosher b'deraisa? The pasuk says hadar. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Hadar to explain why lulav yavesh is possible. The answer is that it's yavesh, but there still is miktas hadar to it. So relative to a lulav that's lower on the totem pole, it does have hadar. And that's enough to be mashed b'toras hadar.
But how do you know which way to go on the scale? Because every one that is, if there's one worse than it, there's one that's better. So under the using this, the yardstick of the better, this already is a yavesh that's not, that doesn't.
Oh, so what I'm saying is, as long as I can show you one lulav on the face of the earth, I'm saying if I can show you one lulav on the face of the earth that has less lachluchas than this one, then it has a mixus hadar. Now, what happens when you get to the laboratory and the laboratory tells you you get the results and there's absolutely no H2O whatsoever in the lulav?
Go to the right lab.
Yeah, you got to go to the right lab. So then it could be at that point maybe it's possible to rice.
I found someone that learns in the Ron, but he seems to learn in the Ron that the Ron holds that the Yavesh, not just by the Lulav, but Yavesh in general, is not at all Mixus Other. This is only the other Sulam you can find as a Mixus Other. But by Yavesh, there's no Mixus Other at all. So then
we go back to joy. Well, why would the Rambam say that Shasa Tchakafka Lulav Yavesh is Kosher? Very, very strange.
I can understand the idea that it retains its character, its ID. So I can see it's a lulav, I can see it's an etrog, right? But the idea that it still retains a little bit of hodar, you know, if it's totally dried out etrog, and I shasat kak, I have no choice. It's the only one I have for 1,000 miles away, whatever it is, right? And it's 1,800. So I can. I'm going to use it. It still looks like an etrog. I know it's an etrog, right? But there's no beauty to it. Per se, except in my mind.
So, according to all the Rishonim, you have a great kasha. Why would the Rishonim going to tell you that last year's Esrog, which is as hard as a rock, and you could pelt someone and chas v'shalom kill him, you know, if you hit him in the temple? Why b'shas tchak you allowed to use that? But at least according to the Rambam now, if you accept the Bach's principle that the lulav hayavesh still has an element of hadar to it, then the Chachamim said that, you know, even though on a deraisa level in a normal situation, and you have other options, this would be a lulav hayavesh, and it's possible. But in the case where you have no other options, it's kosher. Now let me ask you another question.
Just give me
1 minute, Don, because I'm always going to lose my train. I want to know whether or not I make a bracha b'shas hadchak. Alan, I think you touched on it before, right? So the Rosh says you make a bracha. The Rambam says nothing, but the Rambam says it's kosher. When I read the Rambam, the Rambam says it's kosher, I assume he means you make a bracha on it. Otherwise, he should have told me. Kosher v'yem levarach aleh. And it's not just the Rosh. The Rosh quotes an entire cadre of Rabbanim, of Rishonim, all of whom agree that b'shas hadchak you make a bracha on a posel or whatever. According to the Rambam, it's a posel of lulav. It's Yavesh, according to the other Rishonim, straight across the board. The tour in Shulchan Aruch Tofresh Mem test that we quoted before says you make a bracha b'shas hadchak.
And always?
The tour is the one who goes straight across the board.
Okay. Come in the sign of that the Rush holds, it's only on the other 6 days, but not, you don't make a bracha on the first day.
Okay, that's interesting. Comes along the Arzaruah. And you can look this up if you like. Hilchas Sukkah, Siman Shin Vav, Sifkat and Beis. And he writes that the only reason why we make a bracha, b'shas hadchak, on a yavesh, is because of the following principle. Kedayhu l'Rabbi Yehuda lismoch olav b'shas hadchak. This changes the whole picture of everything that we've been saying until now. The Arzaruah, that's one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, says that according to the Rabbanon, there'd be no havamina to make a bracha on a lulav hayavesh. It's impossible. It's possible. But since Rabbi Yehuda argues with the Chachamim and he holds that there's no requirement of hadar, and what do we do with the pasuk hadar? We have a different drasha. Therefore, b'shas hadchak, if we have no other choice, we're going to fall back on the shita of Yehuda. Normally, we say if there's machlokas tanoim, we have klali aura, and if klali aura yochid v'rabim alocha karabim, then forget it. Take Rabbi Yehuda and put him in what we call Torah hi v'lumah anitzar. You get tzchar, for learning about Rabbi Yehuda, and it's a Chetzal Torah, it's like learning Beit Shammai, and so forth and so on. But in Halacha, forget it. We've already passed it like the Rabbanim against Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Ozaro wants to say that in a Shas Hadchak we can dig up from the burial ground, you know, we can resurrect from the dead a shita that we never accepted l'alacha.
Adas Yochin.
And this principle of the Arzaru has tremendous repercussions for 1,000 years, and it keeps going on and on down the line in Poskim. I told you before, I wrote an article on Yichud. You know, there are some heterim in Yichud which are, how shall I say, you know, what does Gemara talk about? Hilchos Shabbos. What does it say there? You know, something totally beyond here, right? What? Tlui b'chut asara. So, for example, the issue of adoption. Again, I don't want to get into this. I'm just mentioning to you. You adopt a girl. I'm talking to men. If I was talking to women, I would say you adopt a boy. And you can't be alone with that girl. Let's say Anita's Dorais again, you know, whatever, and I'm not going into all the issues. This is your daughter, in inverted commas, right? How old is she, by the way?
Three
years old. So some say that the reason why the Lubavitcher Rebbe never adopted a child is because he held his Anisa Yichud. Because he writes in his Akdoma to the Otzar Poskim that he thinks that Yichud applies even in a case of adoption. Now, who's matir? I mean, everyone adopts children. I mean, in my own family, I have blood relatives that adopted children. I never saw that they opened the door, you know, so there's no Yichud. So the truth is this, again, if you do the research, it's like this one posek who's matir yichud in adoption. It's Rav Waldenberg. What's it called? The Tzitz Eliezer. But again, we're going to have to apply the principle here of kedayu lismoch al Rabbi Eliezer. You know, Rav Waldenberg. What are you going to do? You going to close the door on all orphans and say no yichud, no adoption? And what about the Gemara in Yevamos? The Gemara says, "I'm a gadol yosem b'tov beso is malo of akosa kilu yoldo." And what's his name? The Shlomo Kluger writes that if a couple is childless, let them adopt a child, because the Gemara says kilu yoldo, and that's the kiyum of period rivi. It's a quasi kiyum of period rivi. He's not your biological child.
You have to adopt several at the same time.
And maybe adopt several. Maybe that would avoid the Issa Yichud, because you'd have, you have to work out all the ages and so forth and so on. It's like the babysitting case, I call it, you know, in Hilchos Yichud. Now it comes out, according to the Arzah Ruah, that if the Chachamim were alive today, so to speak, the Chachamim of Yehuda, they would not allow taking apostle b'shas hadchak. Right? We're only relying on Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that Yavish is kosher. So I wonder, I'm thinking out loud, what would the Arzavua say about a bracha? Again, Kedayu lismocha Rabbi Yehuda b'shas hadchak. You're going to make a bracha based on the shita of Rabbi Yehuda? The Chacham holds it's possible, it's worthless. And you're going to make a bracha. Why? Because Kedayu, I can understand, you want to salvage something from the mitzvah, l'kachtem lachem. So take the Yavesh and rely on Rabbi Yehuda. But the language of the Arzaruah seems to indicate that he would make a bracha, that he's mamish accepting Rabbi Yehuda's shita b'shas hadchak.
That makes sense.
Both line and sinker.
You can't pick and choose like that. You can't. If you say, if you're, once you're accepting Rabbi Yehuda, you accept Rabbi Yehuda's definition. But that definition...
No, I thought that you could say, you know, I'll be somech on Rabbi Yehuda b'shas hadchak, so as if to say, you know, it's not an exercise of futility, but to upgrade it to the status of a kosher and make a brach on it. But the truth is, the language of the Arzaru seems to indicate just that.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, according to the Rush, the Rush would hold b'shas hadchak. Even according to the Chachamim, you can make a brach on Apostle Lula, because Heim Omru veheim Omru, you know, the principle of Masun HaKosav LeChachamim. If you apply the Rush's logic of Masun HaKosav LeChachamim, then that's just what the Chachamim would say. That's not Rabbi Yehuda. Alright. Now I want to open up the Raifit. you know, everything that we did here is the Rambam. And the Ravid in Asogos, the Rambam writes in Shasat Chak, Lulav Vayomesh Kosher, he says, Omar Avram, Ani Eini Omer Kein, I don't agree with the Rambam. Sharei Omru, because the Gemara says on Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis that you let Yovesh, Yovesh is possible. No, what is, so if Yovesh is possible, so what about our sugya? You know, he, it's very nice that the writer is quoting the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek that says that Lulav Yovesh is possible, but the Gemara says that Peshas Adchak, right, and they bequeath, they love him to their grandchildren. He says, V'chol makom shamu posel, whenever it says posel, is afilu b'dievedu. Upsul doraisu. V'chol psul doraisu, says the Ravid, ein chiluk b'bein shas adchak. Uksha amru, and when the Gemara says, ein shas adchak raya, kach amru, this is what they meant to say. Linkot biyadayu koldehu ki hechi delolish takach minei toras esra. The ganze business is what Trump would call fake news. The whole thing is fake. It's just to remind you that Amalek Titan, you know, back in the day we took a lua, we took an esri. It's a memory device.
That's the whole reason why we do it after the Yom Rishon anyway.
Well, again, that's a takana derabbanan. The Rambam is saying that this is just zecher bi'alma. It's not that the Rambam made a takana that you have to take a posel lua b'shas adchak.
No, but it's in line with the svara.
No, I'm saying this. Wait, you want? Just wait one more minute, and I'll answer your question. You'll have the answer to your question. What's the nafkamina between the Rambam and all the Rishonim as far as shas adchak? Conceptually, I understand the difference, right? They're saying it's a mitzvah, and the Rambam is saying it's just a memory device. You know, it's a nice idea. But what would be the nafkamina l'maisa?
Saying a bracha.
Exactly, a bracha. So the Rambam would not make a bracha. That has nothing to do with lulav kol shiva. Nobody questions that we make a bracha on lulav kol shiva. What you can ask is why don't we make a bracha on what's called korach, right? Korach, kricha. On Leil HaPesach is Zeichel HaMikdash, because the Pasuk says, Al Matzah Sarom Yochlu, they ate it with the carbon Pesach. So Tosus I think it's at the end of Megillah, wants to know, why don't we make a bracha on Korach? So he says, it's only a Zeichel B'Alma. Yeah, but on the other hand, we make a bracha on Sfiris HaOmer, according to most Rishonim, except for the Rambam, that's also Zeichel HaMikdash. And Lulav Kol Shiva, we make a bracha, and it's only a Zeichel HaMikdash. So we see that when we make a Zeichel HaMikdash, we do assume it's a mitzvah derabbanan, and we make a bracha on it. Even though the Gaonim say that we don't make a bracha on Chibut Arava and Hoshana Rabba,
that's because that's a minhag.
Maybe that's only a minhag. But if it's mamish a takana, the rabbanon of a zecher l'milamikdash, then we have a mitzvah the rabbanon, we make a shekin shonim, it's also a tzivano, like we do on any mitzvah the rabbanon. But in any event, the Ravid will leave out a bracha. Chas v'shom to make a bracha. Posel means it's posel. You want to make a zecher bialma, kadesh lo tishtakach? Fine, it's a nice exercise. But don't call it a mitzvah, and don't make a bracha. Okay. That's as far as the Rav is concerned. So I want to learn with you the Mishnah Berurah. We have a few copies of the Mishnah Berurah floating around. We had a whole bunch of copies when we started, but I don't know, it's like pokes in the hole, and they just get lost as we go along. Ooh, I have one other one here. Oh, this one's mine, so what difference it make? But anybody want a Mishnah Berurah going once?
Sure.
Going twice? Okay.
Remember Zaksal was alive. He didn't allow the copies to be made.
Ah. All right. I guess that copyright has expired already.
Yeah.
Where are we?
So we are on Siman Tofresh Mem Tes. If you give me a minute, I'll tell you exactly what page we're on. Okay, Tofresh Mem Tes. Seif Yud. 1 second. Mishnah Berurah Nun Ches, just 1 second. This is on page 244. So the Mechaber writes, let's just read the Mechaber, B'shas Adchak, She'ein Nimtza Kosher, is Kol Apsulin Notlin, the Eimavach. Now, excuse me, Eimavachim could mean one of two things. Either it could mean that the Machaber accepts the sheet of the Ravid, and to the whole ganze business of taking a posse of Shas Adchak is just Zeicha Li'alma, and it doesn't justify a bracha. Or maybe he holds, like the Orza Ruah, that Kedayu L'Rabbi Yehuda L'Ismach Alav B'Shas Adchak, but that's not enough to justify a bracha, because the Chachomim would not allow such a thing. And the Ramah says, "V'yesh machshirim lulav yavesh afil levarich alav." And he writes, "V'chein nogim levarich alulavim yaveshim." Okay. So again, there are a lot of different details here that I'm skipping. But in any event, we see clearly that there's a machlokas here between the Mechaber and the Ramah. So the Mechaber advocates omitting a bracha b'shas adchak on apostle, and the Ramah seems to advocate in favor of this. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "V'achronim eskimu ledina, de b'shas adchak nuchal lismoch al aposkim asovrim de b'chol arbas haminim k'shem yaveshim nuchal levarich aleihem." We're going to rely on those poskim that allow you to make a bracha on all four minim, any of the four minim, if they are dry and you have no other option. It's b'shas adchak. Now, if you take a look in the Sharat Ziyun of the Mishnah Berurah, number Samach Gimel, he says, again, in the print of the Mishnah Berurah, the text of the Mishnah Berurah itself, he quotes the poskim that will extend the halacha of bracha v'shas adchak to all four minim. All four minim. What about other psulim other than yavesh? So that's what he has here, the name of the Magen Avraham. And other poskim, he said, d'ledina hu adin b'shar psulim. So it's not limited to yavesh. So again, in the Pnim itself, in the Mishnah Berurah, he relies on those poskim who extend it to all four minim. And now he's extending it to all the psulim. Is b'shas adchak nuchal levarich aleihem.
The contrast to that is only hadar. What's the contrast to all psulim?
Well, for that we have to really know this parak inside out, which we're not ready for. There may be.
That's what I was going to ask you.
I discussed this in the Shia this morning. You were there, Don. You were there also,
yes.
Right? That, remember, there may be different categories of psulim themselves. Remember, we spoke about a charus, which Rashi says is ke'etz, bi'alma. So we wanted to suggest that maybe Rashi means it's not even a lulav. Whereas the other psulim, like, for example, nistak, that might be a lulav, but it's possible. So I'm not sure what he says here, that you could rely on this whole group of poskim, b'shas adchak, for all psulim. I don't know what he means by all psulim, because, and I think, Sam, you were implying this, that there's certain psulim that already it's out of the ballpark. You know, you're no longer on the radar screen. It's pakasheng lulav. Then he writes the following. That's the end of this Sharat Ziyun. He writes, Achen, he says, however, he says, Efshar midinosenu ein noagim karosh v'seoso rak b'yaveshus. He says that the only reason we accepted the minug of making a bracha b'shas adchach like the Rosh is only because in our medinos ein motzui lachem kolkach, very hard to get a moist esrog or a moist lulav. However, that doesn't apply to shar psulim. In other words, other psulim, other than yavesh, even b'shas adchak, we never accepted the minna. No, we have here such a basic machlokas here about whether you make a bracha on these psulim or not, that the minhag is going to have to decide for us how it went. You know, just the way the minhag evolved. So the metzias was that it was very hard to get something that wasn't a yavesh. So they relied on the rush because they didn't want to give up on the mitzvah of lulav. And therefore you make a bracha on a yavesh. But on other psulim, that wasn't so catastrophic. And then he writes that Ledina, he says, Nogim Lahakil Karamo Gamba Hadasin. Wow. Now it comes out, according to Mishnah Brura, that we can be Makil and Yavesh in 2 out of 4, in Lulav and Hadasin, but not in Arav and Esrik. Yeah, I don't know, you know, what happens if you go to the Morei Horah today, you know, in Meir Shearim. I don't know what they'll paskin for you. Whoever your favorite Morei Horah is. It sounds like the Mishnah Brura is only willing to be Mekel B'Shas Adchak in the cases of a Lulav and Hadasin. Now, I want to tell you something else. Yesterday we mentioned the Sefer Yireyim. It's one of the Balei HaTosfos, the Blaz of Yemen. So the Sefer Yireyim, which we quoted yesterday in a whole different context, on this issue here in Siman Tov Reish Mem Tes, he writes, Yesh levarech al lulav o hadas yavesh, ach lo al arava yavesha. But keep in mind, this Mishnah Brura that we saw now, that allows you to make a bracha on 2 out of the 4 minim when they yaveshim, the lulav and the hadas, has nothing to do with the Sefer Yireyim. The Sefer Yireyim is talking about a doraisa halacha. He's not talking about a minhag. No, there's the Mishnah Brura saying how minhag was in these two cases. It's very hard to get anything other than yaveshim. And by the time they keilu shipped the hadasim from the Galil all the way to Radin in Poland, you know, it became yavesh. So we make it like the Rosh, and we make a bracha on Yavashim, but not in the case of our Ravas. It's, you know, our Ravas are all over the place, and even Asrogim we were able to get. Hopefully not Murkavim. But the Yireyim is saying something else. The Yireyim is saying that the psul of Yavesh applies to our Rava and to Hadassim. I'm sorry, to our Rava and to Esrog, but not to Lulav and Hadassim. And basically I think what he's saying is something like what we saw in the Bach, except that he's extending it from Lulav to include Hadassim, that there's always a Miktas Adar. No matter how dry your Hadassim are, they still have some sort of leftover Lachluchas, but the Arava at some point, or last year's Esrog, is totally dry. It has no Adar whatsoever. I'm not going to tell you how to Paschal L'maisa, but This Sefer Yireyim gives a lot more teeth to the Mishnah Brura's Hachroah here. Because the Mishnah Brura's Hachroah is based on Medino Senu. You know, he's talking about a particular reality that existed in Poland in the year 1930, you know. I don't know if that applies today. But if you take the Sefer Yireyim and he's talking on a Doraisa level, and we add to the Bach into the, they just said he's expanding the Bach to include Hadassim, then maybe, in fact, we can make a bracha on a lulav ayavesh and hadasim yaveshim b'shas adchak, if that's all we have.
Yeah, this is b'shas adchak.
Yeah, but I'm just saying b'shas adchak, I'm going to accept the Mishnah Brura, even though the Mishnah Brura is talking about a whole different physical reality, you know, in his Medina. But I'm going to rely on this Mishnah Brura for a different reason, because already in the Rishonim, on a Doraisa level, they make this distinction between the lulav and the hadasim on the one hand, and the Aravis and the Esrog on the other. All right, Rabbos, I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos, and thank you so much, and hopefully we'll see each other next week. Don't let anything get dry until next week.
Okay? As long as you were funny before, there's another way of learning the whole sugya, and that is the reason that dry, absolute dry, it is pasul, is because it's baser. So the whole thing is tussle because it's not here. It's only dry.
Very good. I like that. I thought I reached the lowest level of puns until I heard that one.